So here is something that is really interesting when you kind of go beyond the surface of seeing things. I want you to put yourself in Jacob's shoes. It doesn't look like he had a break. Every time he thinks he got something that he wants, it slips away from his hand. So the first thing is, he gets the birthright, he gets the blessing, and then he had to run away. So he gets that and it slips away from his hand. He goes to Laban. And I want you to put yourself in that Jacob's shoes, because I am sure each and every one of us went after one thing, and when you get it, and you said, I had it, it goes away from your hand. And you said, what happened? Now he wants Rachel, working for 7 years. Got her. Slipped away from his hand. He had to work another 7 years. And now, all he had is two wives and a bunch of rowdy children. No money, nothing. So he said, I need to have some money. So I'm going to... He schemed me, I'll scheme him. And I'm smarter than him. And I'm going to get him. I'll get him back, and I'll get him back well. Where it really hurt, his money, I'm going to get it from him. Laban, I'm going to give... No, stay with me. What do you want? I just want to take those, you know, those sheep there. They don't really look like anything. I'll have those kind that have spots on them. Got it. And for 6 years, he's tried to use all of his ability and his brain, and he got everything that even Laban's kids said, wait a second, this guy took everything. So he had everything. Now he realized Laban is not happy with him anymore. Okay. Get his wives. We're going to run away. All right. He runs away, and he arranged it very, very well. He knows what Laban is doing. He's really a master schemer. I mean, if this guy runs a country or a corporation, he would have been in jail for all what he had done. Scheming all the way. So he knows exactly when to escape. 3 days, by the time Laban wakes up and come back, he will be already gone. But Laban goes after him. In everything you notice so far, God is not in the picture. Then God comes to Laban, and he said, you don't even bother talking to him, good or evil. And I always wonder why. I mean, don't talk to him evil, but not even good. God is saying, you don't do anything with him. Don't even come near him, don't touch him. And Laban told Jacob, I was going to harm you if it wasn't for God. So now for all of a sudden, Jacob realized, oh, God is in the picture here, and I forgot all about him. Mm-hmm. Now he's out. He said, okay, now I'm planning my trip back north again, and Esau is on the way. Well, what am I going to do? Let me just send him, tell him that I'm coming. Before he does that, before he even sent to Esau, God, who is in control, sent him 2 hosts of angels, right? Big army of angels. Now, as we have heard, one angel is enough. Do you think that if I know that I'm going somewhere in the dark, driving in the snow, very, very bad, and I'm told that there's 2 hosts of angels around me, would I be calm and everything is okay? Mm-hmm. The man is still afraid, because it is not a matter of external, it's a matter of internal. There was a problem inside, and Jacob knows it. His conscience was not free. He know he has been doing stuff that is not right. And I tell you what, if you are in that state where your conscience is bothering you because you did something wrong, it doesn't matter how it looks on the outside. So you would be sitting here singing hymns, enjoying the things. You might even make a comment. But you know inside that there is something that is not right. And you need to settle it with God. Everything's comfortable. There's a host of angels around you. God have protected you the night before from Laban. Everything is okay. He's taking care of you. But you know inside that you are not at peace with God. Because you know you have been doing stuff that is not right. Maybe nobody knows about it. But God sees it and knows it. And you know it too. And there's no peace. And it doesn't matter how warm it is. It doesn't matter how many hymns are we singing. It doesn't matter what scripture are. You know inside of you, you are sitting here. And you know there is something that is not right before God. And and you might put up an act, and you might call the place Mahanaim, and you might try to kind of work all of the political things and do all the right things and say all the right things. Look, you cannot fool God, because God is looking for reality in our life. And Jacob needed to come to that point in his life where God has to hit him head on and put him right on his back and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. For 20 years, Jacob never prayed. I don't read that. He didn't need to. He's rich, increased of good, and need of nothing. He has good brain. He has good ability. He knows how to manipulate. He knows how to get what he wants in whatever mean, in whatever way. He could play with Laban. He could play with Rachel. He could play with Leah. He could play with everybody to get what he wants. You cannot play with God. You cannot play with God. God will see to it. Because after all, remember what we said the very first day. In the life of Jacob, the heart of man is exposed, full of deceit. The ways of man is exposed, full of unrighteousness. The heart of God is exposed, full of love. The ways of God is exposed, full of righteousness. And he would deal with us to bring us back again in reality, in truth. It doesn't matter how long. So if you've been 20 years, or maybe less, or maybe more, going your own ways, doing your own things, thinks you're getting away with it, and going on fine, everything is okay in the meeting. Yeah, I'm okay. But there is something you need to come before the Lord and confess it. And let the Lord show you and help you to get back again. Then you will have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, and when you have the peace of God, Esau could come with not 400 men, was 4,000 men. Daniel went to the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. Peace. There was no deception. There was no two faces. There was no one front this way and one front the other way. It was clear. There was reality. And until you have that, that's the difference between the believer and the people of the world. You could have everything Jacob have, but you're not going to have peace unless you turn from Jacob to Israel.
There's an honesty in Jacob's prayer that you don't really see in his life and his dealings with any other people. And I think that it's very refreshing, because I think often, even when we're in trouble, when we do come before the Lord, we do try and put up a front. And one of the things Jacob says here is, I'm afraid. And I think that's one of the things we're very loath to admit, that when we're scared, or when we don't know what to do, or when we don't know what's going to happen, and when we need more faith, and when we need more trust. The prayer of Jacob, when he's open, and he's honest, and he pours out his heart before God, I'm not worthy to receive anything. I haven't spoken to you in 20 years. I haven't depended on you in 20 years. You're the God of my father and my grandfather. He doesn't say you're my God. He says you're the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and you've promised me this thing, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of my brother. I'm afraid because of what I've done. And there's something in getting on your knees and pouring out your heart before the Lord. And it's a start, and it's the best place to start. Just being honest and open with God to say, I don't know, and I need your help. It's the best prayer we can pray, because we don't know, and we do need his help. I don't care how confident you are in your own ability or what you know. We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And that is the basic starting point for any conversation we have with the Lord.